Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God that we study this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 18 to 28. Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" When the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?' And that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and tell John the things that you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me.'" Now when the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are gorgeously appareled and live in luxury are in king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not any greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." So far our text. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. As a child, you probably remember waiting all year for Christmas. As soon as one is done, you begin looking forward to the next one. Now, a year is a long time, practically an eternity for a child, so it kind of drops to the back of your mind during the summer. But then Thanksgiving comes, and it's only a month away. And then 3 weeks, and 2 weeks, and 1 week, and then it's the day before, and then it's Christmas morning, and you're up at the break of dawn, and you rush down, you tear open your present, you open the box, and there it is, brand new socks. Disappointed? Or probably some of you are thinking, "No, that's just exactly what I wanted. In fact, I gave my wife socks earlier this month. She was pretty excited about them." So for those of you who that's the best present, well, you can substitute something else there. That would be the most disappointing. Or your dad comes home and he says, "We're going on vacation." And you're pretty excited, all right. And your dad says, "We're going on vacation to Rockford, Illinois." Disappointed. I'm sure we can all think of situations in our life where we were disappointed. Where it just didn't live up to the hype and the expectation of what we were waiting for. The question, though, is Jesus a disappointment? Did the premiere of his life live up to the hype? After all, there was 4,000 years of people waiting and prophets telling people what a great thing it would be when Jesus came. And John hears from his disciples about all the things that Jesus is doing. And maybe he thinks, "What's going on? This isn't what I was expecting." John's career began really well, right? Thousands of people, crowds of people coming out to hear him. Thousands of people lined up to receive his baptism. Jesus himself came to be baptized by John. But then his disciples left to follow Jesus. And the crowd left to follow Jesus. And John knew that that was a good thing. He knew that that was what, the way it was supposed to be. He said, I must decrease so that he can increase. But still. And then John was thrown in prison. But at least Jesus was here, right? At least the kingdom of God had come. At least the king was here, and surely he was about to lead his armies. Surely he would come and rescue John, the forerunner. He's not going to leave John sitting in prison, is he? And yet the disciples come back. They report everything that Jesus is doing. He's preaching. Where is his glory? Where is his might? And maybe John was a little disappointed. Not just with his life, but maybe a little disappointed with Jesus. Where's the glory? Where's the kingdom? Why am I sitting here alone in prison? Was John disappointed? Did John doubt Jesus? That's the big question of the text. And lots of commentators, pastors have debated it back and forth since pretty much the beginning of the church. Many would say, no, not John the Baptist. There's no way he doubted. He leaped in his mother's womb at the very sight of Jesus, his mother. He pointed out to the crowds, behold, the Lamb of God. He was the chosen one, the forerunner. How could he have doubted? No, it must be just that his disciples were doubting, and so he sent them for reassurance to Jesus. And you can interpret the text in that way. You can make that fit. But the evidence of the text on the surface is that John did indeed have some doubt. Our text says that John called the disciples to him and then sent them. When the disciples come to Jesus, they said, this is a question that John wanted to ask. And when Jesus responds, he says, go and tell John. The evidence of the text is that, yes, indeed, John had some doubts. But this is not to John's discredit that he had some doubts. In fact, it puts him in very august society. Elijah doubted and ran away into the wilderness saying to the Lord, let me die because I'm not doing any good here. Abraham doubted. The father of all believers, he's called in the scripture, and yet he doubted to the point where he committed adultery because he thought he needed to do that in order to fulfill God's promise. Moses doubted many times. Far from being a discredit to John, what happens here in our text, at the very lowest point of his life, shows us what great faith he really had. Because, yeah, he doubted. But what did he do in that doubt, in that despair? Sitting alone in that cold prison, he turned to the Lord. Elijah ran away to the desert. Abraham committed adultery. John turned to the Lord. In his doubt, in his despair, he clung to Christ. It was an act of faith, not an act of doubt, that sent the disciples to ask Jesus. In essence, John was saying, I know that you're the one, but I need some reassurance here, Jesus. I'm sitting alone in prison. Can you help me out a little bit? To insist that John could not have doubted is to really make a character of him, an untrue two-dimensional figure. But to recognize in him a sinful human being who had doubts just like us, and yet in those doubts turned and fled to the Lord, is to recognize the truth of what Jesus said. There is no greater prophet born among women. So yeah, John probably had doubts sitting alone in prison. And Satan no doubt took opportunity and struck. Satan knows how to pick his time. He waited for that lowest point of John's life and he struck and struck hard, whispering in John's ear, "Are you sure Jesus is the one? He's leaving you all alone here." But John fled to Christ. Listen to the plea. The plea that John lays before our Savior. Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Was my whole life pointless? Was all my work useless? Have we waited 4,000 years and now we have to wait longer? We were excited, we were joyful, we were hopeful that you were the one, that Christmas had finally come. Please, please tell me that we weren't wrong. This is the primary tool, the primary temptation of Satan from the beginning. Did God really say? Did God really say that you cannot eat the fruit of that tree? Did God really say that every unbeliever is going to hell? That seems pretty mean. Did God really say that your sins are forgiven? You're not that great of a Christian. I know what you've done and said and thought, Satan says to us. Did God really say that baptism gives the forgiveness of sins? If we look inside ourselves, when we have doubts and despair, we're not going to find answers. But if we look to Christ, if we flee to him, as John did, he says, yes. Yes, your sins are forgiven. Yes, Christmas has come. Yes, I am the one. What does John do when he hears those whispers of Satan? He puts his faith in Jesus. He leans on Jesus. Simply asking the question, simply going to Jesus, is an act of great faith. Not relying on himself. Call upon me in the day of trouble. That includes the day of doubt, and the day of sadness, the day when you feel all alone and forsaken and wonder, is Jesus really with me? I know you are the Christ, he says, but I still have these doubts. Help me. If John had only known, huh? If John had only known how close he was to God's salvation, how close he was to God's victory for him, we can understand how John couldn't see how close he was to that victory. He was sitting alone in prison. It looked like he had lost everything. The truth is that God was about to free him, not from the prison, but from sin. God was about to send him home. He had finished his work. He had done everything that God had sent him to do. And God wasn't going to leave him on this earth alone and discipleless for 30 years. God sent him to that prison and to the butcher and to the headsman's block so that he could go home. How many times in our lives doesn't it seem like, well, God has forsaken us? Like, why would God allow this to happen? that we're not seeing. We don't know what God has in store for those who trust in Him. And that's how Jesus answers John, isn't it? He says, look, I have the power to heal. I have the power to heal the lame and the blind and the lepers. I have the power to raise the dead. Yes, if I wanted to, John, I could come and set you free from that prison, and I could make you a prince, and I could give you gold and riches. But John, I have something better for you. The gospel is preached to the poor. Your work was not in vain. You prepared the people for the coming of the Messiah, and here I am, and they are receiving life and forgiveness of sins. And you're not alone. I know where you are. And I will free you, and I will give you salvation. Are you disappointed by Christ? Take away the lights. Take away the gifts and the cookies and the food and the candy and the singing. Is it still Christmas? Is Christ enough to make Christmas Christmas? At this point, some of you are probably thinking, okay, well, I'll take the socks now. At least there's some present for me under the Christmas tree, right? Is Christ enough by himself? Jesus says to the crowds, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Jesus doesn't promise us glory and riches and an easy life. He promises us forgiveness of sins and salvation. And that through much tribulation often. So there are definitely times in our lives when Jesus seems disappointing. And Satan uses those disappointments to raise doubts in our minds. There are certainly times when we feel like we are alone in a cold, dark prison. But Jesus says to us as well in this text, I've not forsaken you. My salvation is at hand. It is closer than you think. Maybe not just weeks away like it was for John. But it's there. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul reminds us. Paul knew what it was to sit alone in cold, dark prisons and to be forsaken. But he also knew the salvation of the Lord is at hand. He is near to save in all our tribulation. Even when it seems to us, where is he? Even when he doesn't act the way that we think he should. Even when he doesn't answer our prayers. He reminds us, I have something better for you. In doubt and despair, turn to the Lord. He is there ready to comfort. In despair and doubt, wait on the Lord. His salvation is very near. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.